Welcome to the Pro-Life Team podcast. I'm Jacob, and I'm here with Dr. Anthony Harper. And today, we're going to talk about, what's going on in the White House press room. So Dr. Harper, go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit and tell us the state of events that affect people interested in pro-life topics.
Okay, well, I'm in Washington, D.C. I've been at the White House today, and I've been one of the leading pro-life reporters there at the White House. They previously shared that I asked a pro-life question about a child's right to life, and it was ignored in the Biden administration. But I'm here to ask President Trump, what is he doing to influence world leaders to stop infanticide as well as international child sex trafficking? Infanticide, the murder of children, is the worst. And this is happening in China, which I brought up at the State Department, and I plan to bring up again. So tomorrow is the first time at the State Department to address a lot of serious issues.
Wow. What's the likelihood you'll be able to ask that question tomorrow?
I don't know. Actually, I've been with the press secretary today and requesting to have a front row seat, part of the new media, to be in a press room, to be a featured to ask a question. There's so many questions to ask, but a child's right to life is the most important.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. So do you have a follow-up question in mind if you get the chance to ask the infanticide and or sex trafficking related question?
Well, another human rights issue would be the person about what the president is doing to influence world leaders to stop Christian and Jewish persecution.
Yeah,
that makes sense. In the news, infanticide and the persecution of Christian and Jewish people right now.
So tell us about your paper, your background, how long you've been, coming to Washington. Tell us about that backstory.
Okay, well, I've been at the White House since 2011, Obama administration, and it's been quite a ride, a very intense experiences. My first trip overseas with to be in the Palestinian Authority. And I know there are a lot of human rights issues that people are concerned about now in the Middle East, Gaza and all that. But I've had some very, very special meetings, very challenging times here, asking pro-life questions. I still reflect back about Roe v. Wade, and that was overturned, and being at the Supreme Court and interviewing people. And Fox News never did let me respond to the backstory about, my confrontation with Biden's press secretary over a child's right to life. I hope that the Trump administration will let me refer to that and what that was like to bring this issue up. And, I know Catholic News Service has been very, very pro-life, bringing up a child's right to life issues. But on the evangelical side, I've been one of the leaders, and I think in that way.
What do you think a really good question about life or pro-life or against abortion? What can a really good question achieve when asked? Like, what's the potential outcome of that question? Like, what could happen next?
What can happen next? When my hope is that this would motivate President Trump to be able to speak to world leaders about this, especially at the UN. But a lot of the UN nations aren't very friendly to the U.S. Thinking about China, a huge human rights violator and very guilty of infanticide, I brought up a question about infanticide in China. and that was basically ignored.
So, yeah, speaking of infanticide, tell us about the current state of affairs, in your opinion, of infanticide taking place here in the U.S. Or, you know, is it, you know, do you think that that's currently a problem, or do you see it more as a problem coming?
Well, it obviously, you know, it really is another word for abortion. So it is a significant problem here in certain states. California, one of the leading states of killing children. I think of also selling baby parts. And, you know, all around the world, I would say China is leading the way in this. There is, people may have heard about the Uyghurs in China in concentration camps, but there's forced sterilization there. China's had a long history of supporting getting rid of children, killing children in abortion. That's what it really is murder. But I wanted to, you know, tell people about our newspaper has been going on for about 24 years. And people can see our website, imcnews.org, and we have a long history of dealing with human rights issues and making the Christian cause very clear at the White House. Not easy thing to do. I'm hoping that a lot of Christians around the country will see the value of having Christian media at the White House leading the way on these issues. And I think it's so important for people listening to this to pray for the Christian media to have courage to bring up this infanticide questions. I'd rather not be the only one regularly doing that. So we've got several other Christian media outlets that could be doing that on a regular basis, but aren't.
Yeah, that's a great call for prayer. And I do think it's important to ask these questions so that people can, well, so that President Trump or the Trump secretary can make a statement of current position, and then that can be held. Would you define infanticide and define abortion, and how would you define those two words?
Well, like I said, you know, infanticide is just another term for me for abortion. Abortion is to me a sanitized version of murder of children. Infanticide is a stronger word. Murder of children is even a stronger word. And I think of the ancient practice of sacrificing children in the fire to the false god Moloch.
Yeah, sometimes my wife and I were talking just recently about, you know, defining abortion as either the killing of a child versus the murder of a child. And I think if you involuntarily kill someone, it might be like manslaughter, but if you do it intentionally, then that would be more, you know, premeditated, intentional would be murder. And I think there could be both involved, because of when someone doesn't know that they believe a lie, they could be doing involuntary manslaughter without understanding what's really at stake. But then obviously some people understand what's at stake, and then that would align with murder. What are your thoughts on those, like, distinguished, you know, whether it's manslaughter, killing, or murder?
Okay, well, you know, some people may be very ignorant about this. They're being fed the lie in on the college campuses, the lie of evolution. So if evolution is, you know, that we become from a lower life form and there is no eternal life situations, you know, that's a serious issue. And I do think that that people suppress the truth, that people are guilty. They're without excuse. In the Bible, it talks about as well, even, you know, God's creation or who God is evident in all the creation. So when people get to the judgment day, they're not going to say that I never knew this was wrong. I never knew that I needed to repent or turn to you. They're going to be without excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking of the lie when someone, you know, says it's not a life, it's just a blob of tissue. If someone truly believed that, yeah, I don't know. It just strikes me as maybe it might be the difference between involuntary killing versus premeditated murder, perhaps in that scenario.
Yeah. Like I said, I know there are a lot of ignorant people out there. They've been fed that lie. So God is the judge in this matter. So we can let him take care of that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's good. So what are your, what would you like people to pray for right now in particular? Or, you know, what do you think currently is needed to be, you know, voiced to God repeatedly through prayer for those who are listening?
Well, you know, to pray for me and other members of the Christian media here to be able to have those opportunities, getting called on to clearly and boldly ask these questions and the impact that these questions would have around the world. You know, the White House press room is the world stage to have the issues addressed. Out of any stage in the world, let's say the White House press room gets the most attention. So this is a great opportunity for me and other media. We need courage. You can pray for me and others. Courage, clearness, and boldness when asking questions. For the receiver, those going to be hearing it, like President Trump and others, and that they will have conviction to, and I say that it's so important, you know, for those that are listening, to pray for our leaders, that they will hear the screams of the children that are being killed in abortion. I really haven't had a call to prayer about, you know, praying with a united voice that God would open up their minds to hear the screams of the children, voices that are being ignored. Can you imagine the impact that would have on people's lives? So they're these leaders in these positions that they can make a difference in saving children if they could actually hear the screams. I would think that it would motivate them towards stopping that. And I hope that God sends these tormenting dreams to them so they hear their screams until they stop the murder of children.
What are your thoughts about abortion being legal in some states and not legal in others? How can it be right to have something immoral in one state and then, I mean, you know, having it allowed in one state and not in another when it's just simply it goes against all morality. What are your thoughts on that?
Very troubling, isn't it, Jacob, that one state could have a different version of morality, but, you know, it still gets to the issue that people are without excuse. Now, we have in our Declaration of Independence the right of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I think that I've been wanting to bring this up in an issue here at the White House, to President Trump, what about, you know, seeing the right to life as, you know, the issue, the children that have that right to life from conception, that this is a natural right. I've actually brought this issue up when Obama was here. I asked about, you know, the mention of name of Jesus, and I said, what is President Obama's response to Christian churches in America that leave our rights of life and liberty as stated in the Declaration of Independence come from Jesus, not men? And, you know, it really troubled the Obama administration to be able to ask that type of question on the world stage like that. Probably the first time that Jesus' name was honored in that way. One of the few times it was really kind of a, said his silence was very loud. And I was shunned for mentioning the name Jesus. But we are endowed by our Creator with this right to life. The child has a right to life. I want to make clear to everyone, from the point of conception, they have a right of life. Our life begins at conception.
Yeah, and that seems like, it seems like 96% of, you know, medical science will agree that life starts at conception. Maybe it's even higher than that. And then for, you know, only those who are twisted will you know, go against that and say life starts when they, you know, on the birthday or somewhere along those lines. And it just seems like, you know, what it just seems like such stark confusion and lies. What do you think President Trump could do to really address this, maybe through an executive order about, you know, the life of a child starts at conception, you know, based on science, based on medical science, and that which happens to agree, you know, complement those with religious views?
Well, it would be great if we would do an executive order about that. You know, the Catholic Church supports that idea of life beginning at conceptions. The Bible supports that as well. I think it is Psalm 139, chapter 139, Psalm, very clear about how we begin. So I would like for him to at least to do that executive order. Sad to say, we don't have enough votes in the Congress to make this, make it a stronger stance. Although the Congress, the Republican, if there was a Democrat out there, I doubt if there is, that would sign on to a life beginning at conception. But if that were to happen, if there would be a stand in the Congress, even though there wouldn't be enough votes to pass it, at least some kind of a resolution or whatever that in honoring God's, you know, will for a child, I would love for that to happen. We could start with the executive order, and hopefully President Trump will have conviction about this. I know that he would have the Catholic Church's support of this, evangelical Christian support as well. And there are a lot of Muslims, by the way, that would support this as well. And I would say the Jewish people in addition.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be amazing if you had the, if you had the opportunity to ask, you know, the Trump administration about that executive order of recognizing life from conception, because then that would pair up with, we all have a right to life. And really just like defining these terms with truth seems to apparently be needed. Whereas for a long time, we took it for granted that we had common definitions for words, and now they're all under attack, or many under attack.
Yes. You know, I want to make a difference here on the issue of child's right to life, and there's so much more here, but, you know, I'm really facing, you know, the reality is that it is very expensive to be in Washington, D.C., and I can't afford to be here. So if enough Christians around the nation see the need for, you know, being able to ask these questions, having this influence here on a regular basis, there's going to have to be a lot more support for this good news voice at the White House, and being not just, you know, good at asking questions like this, but, you know, behind the scenes with other news reporters that need to be educated about pro-life issues. I can make a difference behind the scenes with other news reporters. It's just not the questions I would get in high visible areas in press meetings. So there is a lot to do here. We need more good Christian news reporters so we make a difference for truth.
And I'm really glad that you are there. So for those who are listening, Dr. Harper's website, once again, is IMC, as in Intermountain Christian, and then news, plural, .org. And you can go there, look to support him. I'm really glad that you are there, and only because we seem like, how would you describe the minority of people who are asking Christian or pro-life types of questions? You know, what percent or what ratio would that be out of those in the newsroom?
3%? Very low.
3%. Wow.
Yeah, but wow is, you know, right. The Catholic News Service has been consistent about it. I've been consistent, but there are very few others.
Wow.
Very troubling. There are Christians working for other media outlets, but they won't bring it up.
Yeah. So, Dr. Harper, I remember Well, I forget how many years ago we first met. I think I'm going to guess 15 years ago. I don't really know. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that always struck me about you is that every time you called, you would ask how you could pray for me. And I really appreciated that. I remember you doing that every time for years and years. So in this podcast, if you would maybe go into some more details about how people can pray, specifically, here we are in 2025. What else can we pray for those who are listening?
Pray for President Trump, pray for members of Congress that they need to have strong conviction to defend a child's right to life. My hope is that they would hear my child right to life questions here, but without the Holy Spirit convicting them, they're not going to be motivated to do this. And I think part of this, I don't know if God would support giving people tormenting dreams of hearing the screams of the children that are being killed. But I do know that in the past, God sent plagues upon the Philistines that he made tormenting for them until they repented. So, and actually we have in the future of God doing this as well. But, the screams of the children people have ignored for too long, referred to as the silent scream of the child in the womb. It is frightening to think about what a baby experiences when this device enters the womb that with whirling blades and suction and to tear them apart. It is so gruesome what happens. And I support on the college campuses, showing graphically what happens to a baby.
Wow. Yeah, it's just abortion has been made convenient. It's been made, most abortions are now actually, the abortion pills are being shipped through the mail so someone can order it from their home on a phone and then experience, essentially through self-care without any medical help. They're doing it all within their bathroom, their bedroom, their house. And then there's a report that recently came out that showed that more than 10% of medical abortions with an abortion pill actually, I should pull up the stat. Essentially that have a problem. And in the initial FDA approval of the abortion pill, it showed 0.5%. And so it's turned out to be 22 times higher by it being 10.5% versus 0.5. So what are your thoughts on that? While you're talking, I'll try and look for that actual stat that I can refer to so I don't get the wording misstated.
Mm-hmm. My thoughts on what again? Restate your question.
Yeah, so when it comes to medical abortion being sent through the mail, there is a 22, let me see if I can find the actual stat. Let's see here. Yeah, essentially the medical abortion is not as safe as the FDA had claimed previously. It's turned out it's much less safe when it comes to the woman having a medical problem while taking the abortion pill. And obviously every abortion pill, that's successful will end the life or kill or murder the life of a child. But then the mom or the woman in this scenario is also being harmed higher than what was stated previously.
My concern overall has been for many years, understatement or refusal to make a statement about the impact of a product on a person's health. I know RFK Jr. has talked about the issue of about making America healthy again, for a long time, not labeling all the ingredients that can make a difference, that could be harmful. And this is I guess, a fairly recent issue that all the ingredients are labeled. I'm concerned about the source of the ingredients and the
process.
And it's really disturbing about how this is being promoted as something relatively safe, but very dangerous, you know, destructive to the child and to the mother.
Yeah. So I just found the stat, and it was by the Ethics and Public Policy Center, EPPC, and they issued a report that shows more than 1 in 10 women, or 10.9% of women, experience a serious adverse event for chemical abortion, not less than 0.5% as claimed on the mifepristone label. And so that was something I received a report from Heartbeat International about that, reflecting on that report. And so that's probably something, I'll forward you a copy of this, but this is, the chemical abortion is having, people are trying, they're essentially having 10% of these women taking the abortion pill at home without any help from medical professionals, or having, there's a high percent, 10%. Is a lot of women having adverse events or, problems at home after taking it.
It is so terrible. I think about the concept of truth in advertising. And so this is not truth in advertising when they're misleading the public about the side effects. They're very dangerous. And I also think about how this will impact the child if the child lives. I know that there are, problems with, children that have been born to mothers with alcohol problems, alcohol fetal syndrome, methamphetamine babies. But I don't know how much research has been done by children that survive this chemical abortion and the impact on them for their whole life.
Yeah. So in the U.S., there's a 2-pill regimen. The first pill will starve the baby, and that one can be reversed without any, according to the stats, if that one's reversed with abortion pill reversal, then there's not a significant increase in the birth defect rate. It falls within the normal standard of how many birth defects happen without it. But then the second pill in the abortion pill regimen is based on expelling the baby, meaning the baby's coming, and if that one is successful, then there'll be a delivery. And then if someone gets their pills from overseas, they may be taking only the second pill without the first one, which means they're not trying to starve the baby. They're simply trying to expel the baby. And so they're essentially having a delivery in their bathroom, premature, forced by the medical abortion pills. And that's the state of affairs of what seems to be happening.
It's so troubling, so upsetting that pharmacy companies that claiming to be in the benefit of others are really doing a lot of harm.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Harper, I really appreciate you being on here today and giving us an update. Would you close out this podcast in a prayer with the expectation that those who are listening will be praying along as they're listening to this podcast and probably making their daily commute and hopefully, helping us echo really good things to God?
Okay, I would love to. Father, in Jesus' name of Nazareth, by your Holy Spirit, we pray, Father, for your intervention for a child that people can't hear their voice, their screams. Father, I do pray, it be your will, that you would send these tormenting dreams to people in leadership, where they will hear the screams of the children until they stop the murder of children. They're in a position to stop this murder. I think of it in California, where the high rate of murder of children term they call it abortion, but it's really infanticide, a clear massacre of children. Pray that you bring that conviction upon people, helping to hear their screams, and And Father, we'd be reunited in this one goal of lifting up the, you know, the rights of the child. And we pray for more good Christian media at the White House to be to continue to bring this issue up, and favor at the White House that this questions would be able to be asked clearly and boldly, and people around the world will hear these questions, be convicted, and they will be influenced to stop the massacre of children through this term called abortion. Father, this would be stopped. We pray for the mothers that are being tempted to kill their children, to murder the children that have been deceived by the pharmacy companies and so many others, by their boyfriends as well, and for them to know that this is a child that is growing, human life. Pray that our leaders will understand that we are endowed with the right to life. It begins at conception, and help for President Trump to sign that executive order and the members of Congress that would support this. We ask, Father, on behalf of those that don't have a voice, that can't be heard, the child and so many others, for your glory, Father, we pray you'd intervene. Amen.
Amen.
Shepherd, I shall not be in want.
I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green. He leads me by quiet blue. Yeah, the walk through darkest valleys, you are near me. Your protection and guidance are comforting me.
Fresh.